messages from but excuse me, from both the Old Testament and the Gospel lesson today. It's from both the Isaiah passage and from the passage we just read. Dear friends in Christ, back in the 1980s, we had the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had a speaker on the Lutheran Hour. I don't know if you remember his name, Oswald Hoffman, Ozzy Hoffman, everybody. He was the speaker for the Lutheran Hour for about 30 years. He was there. But in the 80s, he developed tongue cancer. And he had to be out. He actually had to cut off about half of his tongue. I had the honor of being able to, he came to the seminary in St. Louis while I was there, and he spoke to us. And he could speak just as well with half a tongue as he could with a whole tongue. But you can imagine, for a preacher not to be able to speak, it's got to be one of the hardest things in the world. Well, and let's face it, the silencing of Zechariah is really an extraordinary scene. He's a priest who made his living with his voice. His vocation was to bless, to pray, and to teach. And yet there he stood, kind of like a quarterback without an arm. You know, here he is, voiceless in the temple. He was unable even to finish the temple service with his customary blessing. He wasn't even able to say anything then. And what's even more interesting is that Zechariah is a descendant of the priestly family of Aaron. If you'll remember, Aaron is Moses' brother. And Aaron was known for how well he could speak. His part in the Exodus was basically to speak eloquently. Yet Zechariah here, the son of Aaron, couldn't utter a word. Maybe even the greater irony is that Zechariah's name actually anticipated the kind of news that he was getting there in the temple from the angel. His name means God remembers. That's what Zechariah means, God remembers. So when Gabriel told Zechariah that his wife would have a child, that Elizabeth in her old age would have a child, God was actually remembering his people in the way that he had promised. He was actually doing what he said he would do. See, now you have to realize when the Bible talks about God remembering, it's not simply that he's rummaging around in his memory bank. That's not what's happening here. When God remembers, he acts. He actually does something. So God remembered his people there on the day that Gabriel told Zechariah in the temple that he would have a miraculous a son in his old age, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. God's action that day in the temple actually fulfilled Zechariah's own name. He did it in the ultimate way, but the one whose name means God remembers didn't believe that God was about to act. He forgot. God remembers, forgot. He forgot God's wondrous actions of old. He forgot what God did for Abraham and barren Sarah, right? I mean, who else was there? There were Isaac and Rebecca. Think about it. He forgot what God had done for Jacob and Rachel. He forgot just how good God is. And he doubted God's word. Now, I don't know if you noticed in our text today that Zechariah and Elizabeth are both described as righteous before God. They're righteous before God is what it says. That's because, of course, their hope was in the Lord, and their hope was in his promise to act and to send the Messiah. Zechariah prayed regularly for this, especially there in that time when they're under Roman rule and under Roman oppression. Yet when the Lord answered his prayer, what did he do? He doubted. He doubted the word of the angel. And then he said, apparently the appearance of an angel in a vision is not enough of a sign. He wanted another sign. His offense wasn't in expecting too much from God. It was in expecting too little from God. There's a story that's told about a beggar who approached Alexander the great leader in Greece. He approaches Alexander the Great for alms. And so, feeling exceedingly generous, Alexander orders the beggar to be given the government. In other words, he was going to be the governor of 5 cities. The beggar's he steps back and he's like, wait, I didn't ask for that much. And I love this answer. Alexander said, you asked like the man you are, and I give like the man I am. Our God is generous. He gives exceedingly great and precious promises. He invites us to ask, and He promises to answer. He gives us more than we either desire or deserve. He's exceedingly generous. That's who He is. That's who our God is. But we, kind of like Zechariah, well, we easily forget that God is generous. We don't really expect much from Him because that's who we are. We, like Zechariah, are priests who easily forget. God's indescribable goodness has actually made us into His holy priesthood through holy baptism. God, in mercy, has chosen us as His own possession, and He set apart our mouths to do priestly work, to pray, to teach, to proclaim His goodness. And we have every reason to be bold and confident in our prayers. But instead, we've doubted this and have thought, well, what good will my prayers do? We've got every good reason to be confident in the Lord and in His directing of our lives. But we've doubted a lot, too many times, we've doubted that He knows what He's doing. We've every reason to live with joy in all of our circumstances, knowing that we're beggars who've been granted a kingdom, yet we live and we think and pray like God is stingy and He's unwilling to help. We are royal priests of the King of Kings. And we insult the King by not expecting much. We often ask, like we were people of little faith. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. We're like Zechariah. We so easily forget God's fatherly goodness. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. Don't ask God to make you rich. That's not how this works. See, that's the thing. God doesn't forget. God remembers. He doesn't forget His promises, and He doesn't forget His priests. He doesn't forget you, and He doesn't forget me. He remembered Zechariah's prayer, and He acted. God gave Zechariah more than he ever expected. Zechariah hoped for the Messiah, and God gave the Messiah within Zechariah's own generation and actually within his own extended family. Old Zechariah hoped maybe that he might father a child, and God gave him a great child, John, the forerunner of the greater child who was God in the flesh. The ultimate instance of God remembering us and His promises was to send the one to whom John pointed, the one who was the greatest and the most and the very most faithful priest that ever lived. He would perfectly remember this priest. Would perfectly remember and trust the Father's goodness in our place. He would always have a confident hope in God, even in the most hopeless of situations. And He would do all of this so that His faithfulness might be credited to you and me in our baptism. He wouldn't only be the most holy priest, but He's also going to be the most holy sacrifice, the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb of God who sacrificed for you and me, the Lamb whose blood would actually atone for all of our doubt and mistrust of God. And because God has remembered us, we indeed, as it says in the letter to the Hebrews, we have a great high priest. And great he is. He used his voice mightily to bless, to pray, to instruct, to gather sinners to himself. He was the most faithful priest, but before his accusers, he chose to be silent and go to an unjust death in our place. He was the greater Aaron, if you will, hanging on a cross with arms stretched out like a priest in prayer, uttering an eloquent absolution, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's the greater Zechariah, who always remembers and never forgets his father's unspeakable goodness. He never lost hope in that his father would raise him from the dead, just like his father had promised that he would. You see, he's our eternal priest, our eternal high priest, seated there at the right hand of our God as our intercessor and as our advocate. So we must never forget the people that we are. We're like Zechariah. You know, we're poor, pitiable beggars, deserving no good thing from the Lord, but we must also never forget who the Lord is. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God remembered Zechariah and gave him a son to proclaim the Messiah. God remembers you and me. He remembers our need to forgive. Not our need to forgive, there is that too, but our need for forgiveness. And he acts, forgiving us our sins, providing it for us in holy absolution. He remembers our needs for holiness, and he acts, providing it for us in holy baptism. And he remembers our need for strength and courage to live under the cross with patience and joy, and God acts, providing it all for us in holy communion. In Advent, of course, we're especially reminded that we're waiting for the appearing of our blessed hope, Jesus Christ, who will bring us into his glorious kingdom, a kingdom that's beyond anything we could ever imagine. Yet even now, he exceeds our puny expectations. He goes way beyond them. We ask for some comfort for our wounded consciences, and he applies a double portion, like he told the people of Israel through Isaiah. We ask him to help. We ask him to give us a little help in our trials, and he gives us a kingdom. We ask for help in enduring the pain of disease and sickness, and he gives us a promise of a full and complete healing in the resurrection on the last day. At John's birth, Zechariah's voice would again be heard. Zechariah would get to talk again. Of course, there's another child's birth after that we're celebrating this season. And on that day, angels' voices are crying aloud in the skies, proclaiming the birth of the Savior. So what child is this? Jesus Christ the Savior. Zechariah's hope, your hope, and mine. In his name, amen and amen.